Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This is Top Story with Evans Mensa.
Tonight, the NPP majority in Parliament, they have activated processes to have Parliament recalled to consider and approve President's ministerial nominees, just hours after the Supreme Court dismissed an application against the parliamentary approval as frivolous and an abuse of the court processes. Now, the main opposition NDC has tonight been taking on the Chief Justice in the wake of the expedited hearing of this particular case. He accused the Chief Justice of being unfair, and that case was filed by Roxy Nelson Dafiamekwa against the approval of some of these ministerial nominees. And this was ahead of another suit against a controversial anti-gay bill passed by Parliament, which was the first to be filed. Now, these two cases are the centre of the ANPAS between the presidency and the legislature. I want to bring in my parliamentary correspondent, who is also on the legal affairs desk. He's been in Parliament today, but also in court today for us, telling us a bit of what has been happening there. A day of drama, indeed. And Kwaku Asante joins us on the line right now. Kwaku, we'll get into the statement of the NDC shortly, but first, tell us what happened in court today when this case came up.
Evan, so in court today, the plaintiff, that is Roxy Nelson Dafiamekwa, was absent. His lawyer, Nipaku Samuado, was also absent. There was no representative for any of them either. There was also no explanation as to what might have happened. And in fact, the bailiff was put under oath to explain the circumstances under which he was able to serve the lawyers for Roxy Nelson Dafiamekwa. According to him, when he did go to the law firm of Nipaku Samuado, he met a lady called Na, who said she was under the instruction of Nipaku Samuado not to receive any court summons or any court process whatsoever. The Attorney General pressed to have him suspended or some disciplinary action taken against him. But ultimately, when it came to the case, the Supreme Court decided that despite the absence of the NDC MP and his lawyers, they were going to go ahead and hear this case. They first heard from the Speaker of Parliament's lawyer in the person of Thaddeus Sory, who disagreed with the NDC MP and actually urged the Supreme Court to dismiss the application. And then it was the time to hear from the Attorney General, Godfrey Yebo Adame, who also held the same view as the Speaker of Parliament, that the text for the Supreme Court to grant an interlocutory injunction has not been met in this case, and then the applicant has not sufficiently, as it were, made a case to show that any harm, irreparable harm, as you say, will be done to him if the case is to go ahead without the injunction being granted. So ultimately, the five-member panel, presided over by the Chief Justice herself, unanimously dismissed the application injunction. And in the words of the Chief Justice, they were frivolous and there was an abuse of the processes of the court.
And did the court say anything about the absence of the plaintiff in this particular matter and the lawyer?
Yes, Evans, the court decided that there has been no explanation as to why the lawyer and the lawyer and the client were not all in court. And in fact, the bailiff was able to show that despite the lawyer allegedly refusing to receive these summons and other court documents, that was going to show when the court case was going to head. He left the court documents, and the court construed that as having been served. And so having been served, there was nothing to stop the court from going ahead to hear this case. So the Supreme Court proceeded to hear the case in the absence of the plaintiff and his lawyers, and proceeded to render judgment.
And what's the Attorney General's reaction to the ruling, and what does he expect Parliament to do now?
Well, the Attorney General is clear that is the Speaker of Parliament erred when he decided to adjourn the House. He wants the House to, as it were, as a matter of urgency, return to come and consider those urgent government business that are currently outstanding. He also says, just like the Supreme Court has said, the case was frivolous from the start.
And that the application clearly was frivolous, and there ought not to be any manipulation of what went on in court. Even Parliament itself was opposed to the application.
On the cases that are being heard, there are those who have taken the view that some cases were filed 2 weeks prior to this case being filed, and the Supreme Court has proceeded to deal with it. The Chief Justice himself has raised issues about persons not prosecuting their own cases. What do you make of it?
Yes, I mean, as I said, it's most unfortunate that persons will file processes before the court and then fail to take an interest in it. And indeed, even when the same application for interrogatory injunction is pending has not been determined a day before, they proceed to go and file another application for interrogatory injunction. There cannot be a greater demonstration of a desire to abuse a court process than this. Clearly, it shows an attempt to frustrate the Republic from pursuing its business and all. And that is why it's necessary that as lawyers for the Republic, we take a keen interest in whatever happens and make sure that such things are dealt with so that the state business can proceed. On record in Parliament, it's a letter that I wrote to the Speaker asking him to reconsider his decision and all. So I expect Parliament, after having come to the Supreme Court to oppose this application, to also reconvene and deal with the matter relating to the approval of the ministers. There's nothing at all that impedes or inhibits Parliament from doing its work or to do their work. And I think that the adjournment of proceedings was most unjustified, yes, and uncalled for.
And Craig, who are the center of this controversy, are two cases, one of which has just been looked at by the Supreme Court and dismissed, as we've just been reporting. The other case relates to the Richard Sky case against the anti-gay bill, which the president has cited for his reason not to receive the bill, although it's been passed by Parliament. Now, there are concerns about that from the NDC. We'll come to that pretty shortly. But that case was filed before this particular one, but has been heard already. You've been putting that question to the Attorney General, and he's been disclosing that he actually got the Supreme Court to hear this particular case expeditiously.
Yes, in fact, in the NDC statement that we'll get into pretty shortly, the NDC make the case that it is the Chief Justice and the Supreme Court that had prioritized this case over the anti-LGBTQ bill case. But right after this case, the Attorney General actually now revealed that he is the one who got the court to hear this expeditiously. Of course, he does not explain how he was able to do that. But I put the question to him. If you are so much interested in this and you are getting expedited hearing for this also, are you going to get the Supreme Court to sit on that case as early as practicable? I mean, the Richard Alaska's case. He says, well, he's not interested in that. And as far as he's concerned, if Richard Alaska himself is not interested in prosecuting the case, or the Speaker of Parliament himself, who is a party, do not move processes to get a case heard, then the status quo will maintain.
Is it the position that if Richard Sky does not prosecute this case, the Supreme Court is not going to hear it, and the hand of the president is going to be stayed on this bill up until Richard Sky decides that he takes an interest in this matter?
Well, if Richard Sky has not prosecuted the matter, the application will be dismissed. The process he has filed in court will be dismissed. Yes. Hold on. I think that the duty to fix the date for hearing rests in the registry of the Supreme Court. And I do not understand where this business of people actually scrutinizing when applications are faced for hearing or why this application has been for hearing even came from.
The argument
back in the days, if you file an application in the Supreme Court of Ghana, it takes even 3 months for you to have a date for hearing. It is only after a party has made an application for an expeditious determination of the process that the matter will come up for hearing. And indeed, in the record, we show that this particular case, for the record, it must be indicated that I specifically applied for an expedited determination of the matter. I applied for an expedited hearing of the application. So it is not the Supreme Court of Ghana picking and choosing which applications to hear and not to hear. Any party to any matter, back in the days I used to do it even when I was in opposition. So indeed, it is always the prerogative of the Supreme Court registry to face applications for hearing. And if the date for hearing has not been fixed or is perhaps too far, it is incumbent on the party to apply to the Chief Justice in accordance with the the Courts Act and the Constitution of the Republic for an expedited hearing.
Five for an expedited hearing in the Sky case.
I think you should ask the plaintiff. The plaintiff is the one who initiated the action. The plaintiff is the one who initiated the action, and the plaintiff ought to bear the responsibility for the conduct of the matter. I'm not going to conduct the case for the plaintiff.
And Kweku, why is the Attorney General pushing for Roxing Nelson Dafemekpo's lawyer to be punished by the court?
Well, today the bailiff under oath actually explained to the court that when he did go to Nick Papusamoado's law firm to serve him with certain court processes, the instruction that Nick Papusamoado had given some members of the firm was that he should not receive anything from the court. And the Attorney General says he considers that the highest form of disrespect. In fact, in court today, he pushed on two different occasions to get a five-member panel to take a tougher stance against the lawyer. The court have said that they are not going to take any decision now, and in the words of the Chief Justice, they will look at that at a later date. But the Attorney General is still pressing that some action ought to be taken against Nick Papusamoado.
For lawyer who has filed an application in the matter to direct a rejection of the affidavit of position that has been filed by the other side. I mean, it's really, for me, gross professional misconduct. Be that as it may, the court proceeded to deal with the matter, and that is it. I think that was very unfortunate, especially as the same counsel was in the same day filing processes in the Supreme Court of Ghana. Earlier in the morning, he was rejecting processes from the Supreme Court of Ghana, and then in the afternoon, he proceeded to file processes in the same Supreme Court of Ghana. And I think the processes of the highest court of the Republic ought to be respected. The dignity and authority of the court always ought to be protected and respected by all counsel. And that is the point I sought to make in court.
And I want to run and bring in the director of legal at the NDC's legal directorate, Edeji Tamaklo, on the line right now, because the party has issued a statement and they're very unhappy with the Supreme Court for expediting the hearing of this particular case when the other case was filed earlier by Rachel Sky is yet to be heard. You know, those two cases are the heart of this standoff between the judiciary, Parliament itself and the presidency. Now, as you know, the judiciary has been placed in the center of this whole controversy. He joins us right now on the telephone line. Edeji, thanks for your time here on Top Story.
Good evening, good evening to your listeners.
You've raised concerns about fairness. You've also asked the judiciary to rectify this immediately because it's entrenching the perception that they are biased against the NDC. But the Attorney General just explained to us that he made an application to the court for expedited hearing. Doesn't that clear this up?
It doesn't. In fact, this revelation by the Attorney General even makes the concern raised by the NDC even more grievous. Why do I say so? The rules of court allows the party, as it were, to apply for abridgment of time. If the person so believes that the matter is so urgent that the original date for the hearing of the matter may cause a certain harm or, you know, damage, and for that matter, prefers expedition, what you do is that you file a formal application. And by way of formal application, the other party is duly served. Then the parties appear before a panel. The Supreme Court reserved that it could be one person. Then that panel sees with jurisdiction to hear the substantive matter. Will now say that on the basis of this application for abridgment of time, and the depositions accompany it, the court is so minded to abridge time to allow for expeditious hearing. In this case, let me put on record, and again, the Supreme Court is the court of record, the Attorney General has never filed any application for abridgment of time.
How do you know this?
It's on record. He never fact. In fact, the only concept the attorney general filed was an affidavit in opposition to the application for injunction. Where did the Supreme Court of Ghana sit to consider the application for abridgment of time? No such. It was purely an ex parte communication between Godfrey Ebu Adami and whoever set the date for today. He never copied the lawyers for the other party. In fact, it was only a yearly notice to appear in court today that was alleged to have been served on them. So in the absence of a formal application, question, was it a telephone call from Godfrey Adami? Was it a letter written by Mr. Godfrey Ebu Adami? How did he do the application? And this for us is a worrying trend. Why do we say it is worrying? They are two similarly placed injunction applications. Two by Richard Delasky and Dr. Amanda Odoi. These two applications were earlier filed. Meanwhile, Godfrey Ebu Adami, according to him, he applied not for expeditious hearing of the two applications filed earlier in time, but for the application filed by Etienne Dafiamako.
Yeah, but you know why, right? He's explained that. This particular case, he's been cited.
What explanation did he provide?
Well, his explanation is that the Richard Sky case, Richard Sky's case, if he wanted expedited hearing of the case, he should take that particular step. But this case is a case that he's interested in.
The plaintiff in the Dafiamako case.
Well, but he is the chief legal advisor to the government and to the presidency, as you know, and this is a subject that he has already written to the Speaker of Parliament about because it affects the confirmation of the nominees. So he's interested, and that is why he takes this matter to the Supreme Court.
First of all, the suit by Amanda, the suit by Richard Delasky, the attorney general is a party. So if he could apply for expeditious hearing in the Roxanne Dafiamako suit, what prevented him from doing so? In the same suit that he's a party.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's done anything wrong. He is obviously deciding what cases to pursue, which every attorney general is allowed to do.
No, you see, your journalist asked him a question, and I was listening to the interview. When your journalist asked him, how come you are not applying for expeditious hearing in the Richard Sky? He said, I am not the plaintiff, unquote. The suit that the Supreme Court heard today, Godfrey Ebu Adami, was he the plaintiff or is he the plaintiff? Mr. Evans Mensah, is Godfrey Ebu Adami the plaintiff in the suit that the Supreme Court heard today?
That's the question that the Attorney General should answer.
No, but it is not a question for him to answer. It's a question you know. He is not the plaintiff.
But in this particular case, as I pointed out, you know, he's already written to the Speaker objecting to the position that the Speaker took to freeze the hearing of the confirmation by the MPs of the ministerial nominees. He's already stated his position on this matter. It is in that same vein that he decides to go to the Supreme Court for expedited hearing of the matter.
No, what I'm telling you is that by what mode did he go to the Supreme Court for expedited hearing?
He did not indicate, but he says
indicated to you that the Supreme Court of Ghana is a court of record. Even if it's an oral application, it's an application made before a panel of the Supreme Court, be it a sole judge or a panel of judges. The Supreme Court has not sat on the matter of H.J. Dafiamako versus Speaker and the Attorney General, for which reason an oral or formal application has been made to abridge time.
You're not a party to that case, so you can't possibly know if he's made an oral
representation before the judges. The Supreme Court doesn't sit, quote-unquote, in a room. The Supreme Court brought out its revised court list 4 this week. In fact, if you read the heading, it is revised.
It means that there was an original cause list in that cause list.
Your call has been put on hold. Please wait.
Apologies there. We'll try and rectify that for you pretty quickly as Ediju speaks so we can have clarity with his line to us. But he's making a fundamental point about the revelation that the Attorney General gave us today, that this expedited hearing is something that he had instigated. The question he's asking is, did this happen formally? We'll try and interrogate if this is a process in court that is known. And yes, apologies, your line was interrupted pretty shortly. You were making a substantive point. Yes.
Evans, is it better now?
It is.
Okay, thank you. So like I pointed out, when you file a formal application before the Supreme Court of Ghana, the court can sit with a sole judge or a panel of judges. In the specific case of Roxanne Dafiamapo versus the Speaker and others, today is the first time the Supreme Court has constituted a panel to hear this matter. When the matter came up for hearing today, it was not in respect or to consider an application to abridge time to hear the injunction application. No. Two, the hearing notice that was, as it were, served on the plaintiff was for him to appear in court today for the hearing of the substantive injunction application and not to consider any application to abridge time. So when the Attorney General makes the point that he applied for the expeditious hearing, the question that comes obviously is that by what mode? Was it a letter? Was it by a telephone conversation? How did you do that?
Stay with me, Aduji. Let me bring in a private legal practitioner, Bobby Bansi, into the conversation. Bobby, so as we have it now, the Supreme Court decided to hear this case today. The AG just disclosed that he indeed made an application for this to happen. As you've just been listening to, Aduji says there isn't any record to show that a formal application was put in, and that even if it was an oral application, he's not aware of the Supreme Court sitting on this matter. What is the standard procedure if you want an expedited hearing of a case?
Good evening, Evans, and good evening to your listeners. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. I am not sure what the Attorney General meant by he put in an application or he instigated the hearing of the matter. Let me say what I know about the practice or the procedure in the Supreme Court. There's, in respect of the Dafiamapo case, there is a substantive writ that is the originating process of the matter. That substantive writ has not been heard. That substantive writ going to the merits of the claim or the reliefs endorsed on the writ filed by the lawyer for Honorable Dafiamapo, that has not been determined as far as the information I have now. Now, on the back of that writ, an application for interlocutory injunction was filed by the lawyers of Honorable Dafiamapo. Hello, Evans, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Now, when that application was filed, I am not on that application. I stand to be corrected. Was there an original return date?
This is a question you're asking of...
Yes.
Because I haven't seen the specific documents.
Okay, so when the interlocutory application was filed, it was indicated that a date to be fixed. And that has become the standard practice, that when you file an application in the appellate court, you are not given a date. You are given it when the process is given to you, write a date to be fixed. And then you are later given a letter that the registrar of the court would serve you a hearing notice to appear on a certain date. Now, in this case, when the motion for interlocutory injunction was filed, No hearing, no date was put on that motion itself. They received a letter that they will be given a date to appear. Now, subsequently, they were given a date by a hearing notice to appear today. Now, the issue of abridgment of time only comes in if you have an original date, a return date, an original one. And for some reason, you want the matter heard earlier than the original date given to you by the registry of the court. You must then file an application on notice to all the parties involved, justifying why you cannot wait for that original date. That is the process for abridgment of time. Now, in this particular case, the Honorable Dafiame pursued, there was no original date given. There was no original date given. And so the first time that a hearing notice was served on all the parties to appear was this 20th. Sorry, it was for today. And so I do not know what the Attorney General means by, I have not heard the interview, but from what you are saying, that is what he seemed to have suggested, that he instigated for the case to be heard earlier. It seems to suggest that there may have been an earlier date served on the parties, and he abridged it. I don't know what he meant by that process.
So, thankfully, Bobby, the Attorney General just joined us. Let's clarify this, and let's settle this particular debate. Thank you very much, Godfrey Ibadami, for joining us.
Right. Thank you very much.
Can you please clarify that? Did the interview you gave my reporter in court today, when you said
that... I have agreed to speak to you because of the ignorance that is being put out there. A lot of ignorant and misleading information is being put out there. And I consider it my duty as a Minister for Justice to correct this, because indeed it has a grave implication for the administration of justice in the country. Ghana's judiciary has a very solid reputation out there within the Commonwealth. It's one of the most respected institutions in the justice delivery system in the Commonwealth of Nations. And for that matter, wrong impressions that are bandied about to soil the media integrity are of concern to me, especially when they are unfounded and premised on false grounds. The issue is simple. As was explained by the lawyer you spoke to earlier on, no date has been fixed for the hearing of the application by Dafimapo. And for that matter, the issue of abridgment of time does not even arise at all. Eddie Tomaku does not even understand the workings of the rules of court. An application for abridgment of time for hearing of the matter comes in when you have time, a certain or fixed time, fixed for the hearing of the relevant process we're talking about. And you seek to bring the date for it. That is when we talk about abridgment of time. You are abridging the time. You are bringing it forward. When no date has been fixed, it is absolutely the duty of a party interested in the matter to cause the matter to be fixed for hearing. So I certainly wrote a letter to Her Ladyship, the Honorable Chief Justice of the Republic, asking for an expedited hearing of the matter and asking for an early date for hearing. That's a letter on record, as is done by all practitioners where they are sought, all practitioners who know the workings and rules of court.
So, and you did this in the absence...
That indeed, I have done this many, many times. 15, 16 years ago, I made the first application, about maybe 8 years ago, to the... I remember the then Chief Justice Akwa. I sent an application to him asking for an expedited hearing of a matter. He granted it. Even recently, in the Supreme Court case, 2011, that time, Edwin Tomaklu was my student at the Ghana School of Law. It's a matter of record. I applied for an expedited hearing of this famous Vance for France matter. And the Chief Justice then granted the application, and the matter was held in the vacation from day to day. So really, it is not unusual, it is not extraordinary, it is not out of place for a party in the matter to cause a matter to be listed for hearing or cause for the matter to be set down for hearing. So what does it have value about NDC's press statement and all that about the matter? Indeed, what interest does a party have in not having the matter heard early? If you are a plaintiff in the matter, your matter is being heard early, wouldn't you be happy? It clearly shows that the purport of filing the action was not to have the Supreme Court actually determine it, but just to cause mischief. And that mischief is what I sought to deal with by causing the matter to be heard expeditiously. And that was in accord with the Constitution of the Republic and also in accord with the Courts Act. The courts act vests the Chief Justice with the duty and the power to empanel courts all over the country. And if a party is of the view that his matter ought to be heard, the party has to have recourse to the rules governing the court processes, including the Courts Act. It shows clearly, when the NDC speak this way, it shows a total lack of understanding or total ignorance about the rules of court.
When did you write this letter?
I wrote the letter on Monday. It's a matter, I can give you a copy tomorrow. And this is these are matters within the administrative authority of the leadership and Chief Justice. Fixing a date for hearing, fixing a court or constituting a court all over the country, from the Supreme Court to the District Court. I mean, this lends itself to no controversy.
And this letter you wrote came on the day on Monday when you still didn't know when the Supreme Court had fixed this substantive matter for.
It came on a day when there was no date for the hearing, and I caused the matter to be heard early. I wrote for the Chief Justice to exercise their powers, to exercise their prerogative under the Constitution and the Courts Act to cause the matter to be set down for hearing and heard expeditiously. And it's an application that is very constitutional, that is very legal, and that is not called the rules of court. As simple as that. And I think that, indeed, they're asking how come this matter is heard before another matter. The rules of, I mean, there's no basis at all for such argument. If that were the case, how come this matter, opening, has stayed in the court for about 8 years? That one, A.G. Tomakulu and his ilk are not interested in it. They're not concerned about opening, having dragged on for